Let us open the Bible in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 9. Father and children, masters and servants. Father and children, masters and servants. Verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Let us stop here because the next one is about boss and employee. So first, let's talk about the house, and then we talk about work. Okay? Father and children, master and servants. We have a key word there. It's the same key word we used last week. Duty. If you do your duty, you can't go wrong. Just like you can't go wrong with garlic. Remember that? Yeah. So if you do your duty, you can't go wrong. The Apostle Paul is using the same idea he used last week. He's applying the duty. Last week, the duty was husband to love the wife unconditionally. Wife to submit to their husband. Now he's going to use the same word, duty, obedience, and leadership. Okay? But I remember you that I told you that chapter 5, we are in chapter 6. Chapter 5, it was like a hamburger. The bun, the meat, and the bun. And the meat was the fulfillment of the Spirit. You remember that? The fullness of the Spirit was the meat, was the core, was the most important part of the chapter 5. So, if we're filled with the Spirit, we do our duties easily. If we're lacking the fulfillment of the Spirit, if we are just on the flesh, if we are not praying, if we're not reading our Bible, if we're not in community, then it's hard to fulfill our duties, right? And the two duties here are super hard. I know most of you have already passed this season of your life. Your children are already grown. Most of the children are older than me. But look at the first duty here for the children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So the first duty is obedience. Why? Because this is right. My parents, they are not the best. The Apostle Paul would say the same thing. Obedience because this is right. My parents, they are not even Christians. Obedience, because this is right. But the world I live in today, it's technology, and my parents don't know anything about technology. Children, obey your parents, because this is right. Can you say amen, church? Amen, amen. Because it's right. Okay? And now here it's a good illustration. Raise your hand if you have ever read or heard about the book Five Languages of Love. Have you ever? Okay, 2, 4. Okay, good. So this Christian counselor, he saw that between couples, the problem wasn't the lack of love. The problem was the lack of interpretation of love. And he came with the theory, doctrine, or scientifically in what he has seen, that there are 5 languages of love. 1, acts of service. So when the spouse gets home and they do the laundry, do the dishes, clean up, and the other spouse feels loved. Maybe the person was just doing their duty, but the other person feels super loved. Weird, right? So that's one language of love, acts of service. There is another one. There is gifts. The person gives a gift, spends money on you, and then the person feels loved. And the person spending money, he's also showing love. It's not just a gift. It's the way I can tell you I love you. The third one, it is words of affirmation. So you can love, you can do everything, but you need to say. Last week I told the husbands, you cannot stop in loving your wife. You need to tell you love. Am I right, ladies? That's right. So, words. You need to affirm the person. You need to say you're the best, we need you, all of that. And the person feels loved. There is another one. Let me check here. Time. If you spend time with the person, you can affirm her, you can do the dishes, you can do everything, but if you don't spend time with the person, that person doesn't like me. Why? Because I text them, come, and they're never available. Let's spend some time together. Never happens. So that person surely doesn't love me. Time. And the last one, touch. And by the amount that I hug you in the front and in the exit of the service, that's one of mine. So you hug, you give hands. You can't watch things together. You need to sit together. You can't drive together. If it's spouse, you need to give the hand. If you're just in the same car, still distance. You need to give hands. That's the touching one. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. What is God teaching us here? There is a sixth love language, which is obedience. You can do everything to God. You can try to spend time with God. You can give gifts to God. But if you don't obey God, you don't love God. If you obey God, you love God. If you love God, you obey God. God is our Heavenly Father. We are His spiritual children. Now let's apply this to the words of the Apostle Paul. When the children obey their parents, they are loving their parents. Does that make sense? So obedience is right because shows the parents that you love the parents. The parents feel respected. The parents feel you can trust him. And then you can't go wrong. So the duty of the children is obedience. Is it timeless? Yes, is it? It is timeless. So if you are old and you're already not under the roof of your parents, you still owe them obedience. Definitely not the same obedience as you would have when you were a kid, when you were under their responsibility. But you still pay obedience to them, for this is right, and that's the way you love them. Okay? Different levels of responsibility. Parents. What are the parents' duty? Number two. I put father's duty, but it's parents' duty, okay? Parents' duty is to lead. Verse 4. Fathers, do not expiate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. I want you to pay attention in these three words. Expiating, training, and instruction. You see that Paul is using a language here that I'm going to try to illustrate to you. And I believe it's going to be easy. In the Olympics, there are kinds of races in the Olympics. Some races are the marathon. You run a lot of kilometers, okay? Some races are short, 100 meters, 200 meters. Usain Bolt wins all of them. Nobody beats the man, the Jamaican Usain Bolt. But there is one that is in group. It is in group, which is, I believe it's the relay race. And you have a baton in hand. You have an instrument in hand, which I don't know what is it called. Let's call baton. So every four of them run 100 meters. But all together they run 400 meters. What is the Apostle Paul teaching here? Do not expirate your children. Train in the instruction. See the language he's using? He's saying this. Parents, you are older than your kids. You have more experience than your kids. You already ran 100 meters in the race of life. You need to give the baton to your kid in the 100 meters point. If you fail to give the baton and to train your children to run from 100 meters to 200, your children are going to need to start from point zero. And they're going to run 100 meters and they're going to be at the 100 meters mark. Instead, they could have been in the 200 meters mark. Understand that? If the parents are not able to bring their children, train their children to start the race from the 100 meters, they already failed. The children are going to need to start their own race. And the max achievement of the children, 100 meters. Train and instruct your children. When you expirate your children, which means put your kids down, you're never going to be anybody. You're a fool. Why? You're not better than your friends. Your co-worker is same age as you, and look, he already has everything and not you. When you do that, your kid's coming back to the mark zero. And they're going to need to run the race by themselves. But when you bring your children with you, by training instruction, if obedience is hard for the kid, imagine to do this as a parent. Way more harder. If you do that, they're going to go from there. And that's the way life is supposed to be. One generation works, learn, grow. The other generation don't come to consume what the other generation did. Comes to improve and to make it grow. But all depends if the 100 meter race, the baton is given, and it's given well. And from 100 meters, that person going to run the same amount of distance, but the achievement is going to be greater. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. And why is he saying this? The text shows us, verse 3, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. What is the text teaching us? Why we should do our duties? Because there is reward. For the kids who obey their parents, they are rewarded. God Himself blesses the kids. For the parents, you see, there is no reward, only responsibility. Why? Because in the biblical context, biblical mindset, it is understood if you have responsibility, that means you already have your reward. Who is the reward of the parents? The kids. When the kids have kids, who is the rewards of the kids? Their own children. And now responsibility is added to them. So in the biblical perspective, every time you see someone with a lot of responsibility, they already have their reward. To whoever I gave much, I ask much, Jesus says. So there is reward for both children and parents, as there is responsibility, but a higher level of responsibility for the parents. That's why we need to do our duties as we should do. There is a picture on the screen. That's the parent picture. And he's training his kid. You see? His kid must run the race from the 100-meter mark, not from the ground zero, 0 point mark. And I believe I have another picture which is funny. There is the puppy one. When I typed obedience in the internet, they gave me the picture of a puppy. So that must be obedience. They are very loyal, that's true. So obedience. And now keep this. Bring the next point. Servant's duty. Obedience, and put the puppy's picture again. So we learn from the puppet. Solomon tells us to learn from the ant, from the lizard, and your pastor is saying, let's learn from the puppy. Good. Servant's duty, obedience. Let us read verse 5. Slaves, employees, workers, obey your earthly masters, boss, employer, with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. Verse 9, and masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours in heaven, and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Servant's duty, obedience. Okay, and I have here a good illustration for us. Among the Jewish people, they are very well known, recommended for being good with wealth, business, and all of that. And some people were asking them why, and there's many reasons. But this, I believe, it's one of the core reasons. They have a self-employed mindset. If I'm self-employed, the business relies on me. I need to satisfy the customers. I need to provide the best service. I need to go the extra mile. I need to handle complaints well, resolve problems the best way. Because I'm the self-employed. It's my business. If it's only mine, if it's a small business, if it's business, I am the owner. It depends on me. They have this mindset always. Always, always. So when it is applied to the employer-employee relationship, when someone has the business and they are working under that person, when they are not the employer, they are just the employee, they have the same mindset. Now, who is their customer? The boss. He is not my boss. He is my customer. He is not my boss. I am providing the service for him. Therefore, even though the business doesn't carry my name, I still need to do the best. it all depends on me. I still need to go the extra mile. If it is dirty and I can't do it, I'll clean. I'm not going to leave for the cleaning team. I'll clean because I'm a self-employed mindset. If the extra hours need to be made, don't even bother to ask me. I'm already doing them. Why? Because I have a self-employed mindset. I would do for my business. I am doing for your business because you're not my employer. You are my customer. I have only one customer. You are. That's what Paul is teaching here. Do your job when the boss is not seeing. Why? Because you achieved it in your mindset, a self-employed mentality. You don't need others in order to do your business. You do need others to see you in order to do your job properly. With that being said, it's not a mindset thing only. It also takes discipline. And that's why the Apostle Paul mentioned discipline in verse 4. Because sometimes I have a self-employed mindset, but lack discipline. I know I need to do that because that's what I would do for my job if I was the owner. But I maybe lack the discipline to do it. Just like I know I need to eat healthy, but sometimes I lack the discipline to control. I know I need to exercise. Mindset's already there. The self-employed mindset's already there. The fitness mindset's already there, but sometimes lacks the discipline. Great people do consistently what others do seldomly. It takes not only self-employed mentality, it also takes discipline. That's the servant's, employee, worker's duty. It's hard, it is, but now comes the harder one, which is the master's duty. To treat well. Treat well. Among us, most of us are from an immigrant church. All of us immigrate to Canada, few exceptions. And among the immigrants, when I see it. Some people treat their immigrant employee just not the way it was supposed to. You go and you see the companies beside, people are getting paid 30, 40% more than the order is getting paid. A job that takes 2, 3, 4 guys to do, you're going to do yourself. Do it. Do it. You work like crazy. You are running the marathon in the business. The boss is literally using you just like a parasite. I pay you low wage. You're going to do a lot. You're going to do 3 people job. And I want the profit. And if you are not capable of, I'm going to fire you. And there is many that I can find who are desperate, who are new to the country, who are in need. And I'm going to do the same to them. What the Apostle Paul is saying, treat well. If everywhere they're getting paid 30%, 40% more, why wouldn't you? If everywhere it takes 3, 4 people to do the job, why are you asking someone to do the job by themselves? Treat your employees well. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. And I want to bring this sermon to the conclusion with 3 points. First, the why. It's the same why as the kids and the parents. There is reward for the employee. I believe it's in verse 9. No, in verse 8. When the employee obeys, When the employee does his duty, you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. There is a blessing from the Lord when you do your job properly. Okay? When you obey. And to the masters, there is the responsibility of treating well, of caring for the employee. Again, only responsibility, no rewards. Why? Because he already has reward. What's the reward? He owns the business, he brings the profit, he owns the land, he owns the thing, he calls the shot, he makes the decision. He already has a lot of rewards. Therefore, responsibility only is mentioned in the text. That's the reason why we're going to do our duties as we're supposed to do. First point for the conclusion. Second point for the conclusion. I believe I don't need to tell you, because you know, Paul is being revolutionary here. Because verse 5, slaves. Look at how hard this word it is. Parents, do not expirate your kids. Look at how hard this word is. In the ancient world, there was not such of like human rights, Labor Day, that you have a holiday to celebrate the Labor Day. There's not such a thing. There's no rights. If the parent have the children, they own the children. If the masters buy the slave, they own the slave. So they make the rules. No real human rights and blah, blah, blah. So Paul here, he's being very revolutionary. Because he's saying, wait a minute, you don't own the kid. God does. Masters, you don't own the slave. God does. You don't do whatever you think. You do what God would do. Back in the days, parents some parents would sacrifice their kids. You see that in the Bible. You see that in history. Nowadays, people abort their kids because they think the kids belong to them. They didn't realize that the kids belong to the Lord. Actually, the number of abortions today, it's way greater than the ones in the ancient world. Because people still didn't understand that who owns the kids, it's not the parent. It's not the one who is giving birth, it's the Lord. So Paul is being revolutionary back in the days. Paul is being revolutionary nowadays. Wait a minute. Slow down. Who you think owns what? How you describe things? So among the Christians, the slaves should be, the employees should have been treated well, and the parents should treat well the kids. While in the world, they would do whatever they want with the slaves and with the kids. Paul started to be revolutionary. And unfortunately, apparently nowadays, we are going to the ancient world mentality. So we need another revolution again. We need to read the Bible again. We need to advocate for the principles of the Bible again. Paul didn't want to do that, but indeed he was revolutionary. And third, again, I'm concluding this sermon not with actions, because we are talking about duties, it's action. It's things that are in front of us. It's things that we can see. If you obey, I see. If you disobey, I'll see. If you treat well, I see. If you not treat well, I can see. But I'm concluding the sermon talking about things we cannot see. It's behind our eyes. It's in our minds. Again, Paul is teaching here what the Bible teaches that is different from what our politics, our schools, university are teaching today. Today, the teaching in schools and university, it's extreme utopy of communism, socialism. Everybody deserves rewards, same rewards. Somebody with a lot of responsibility, somebody with none or less responsibility. If you don't want to work, if you don't want to be profitable for the nation, if you don't want to grow up and do your duty, it's okay. The government's going to take care of you. And we all going to take care of you. Is the Bible teaching that here? Levels of rewards. If you don't have too much responsibility, your reward and duty and responsibility is one. If you have another level of responsibility, your duty, your responsibility, and your reward is another. Very, very, very far with this concept of communism, socialism, back in my country. Very different. Is God here showing that He rewards everyone? He does. The kid and the parent, the master and the slave. Is He showing that He is rewarding them equally? No, He doesn't. Actually, the text is very clear. He shows no partiality. To whoever I gave much, I'll request much. To whoever I gave little, I'll request little. Amen?